afternoon, fellow gardeners. You're with Selena and Karen at Garden Planet.
Good afternoon.
Today we are venturing. Last week we were out off the planet.
Yep.
And this week we're back on. Okay, guys. And we are going to be talking about small space gardening today. Okay. Oh, just in case you didn't follow last week, it was we were talking about moon gardening. Check that out on the podcast if you didn't get to do that. It will still be there for eternity, won't it?
Yes. planetaudio.org.nz/garden-planet.
Oh, you're good. Just Google Garden Planet.
Yeah, it'll be there. Garden Planet.
And it'll be there forever. And so anyway, small space gardening. Yes. Now, don't think that this is just limited to the urban sphere, people, because you can have a small garden anywhere. You can have a small garden in the countryside. You can have a small garden outside your apartment, mm-hmm. on your deck, or inside if you had like a winter garden type set up.
How conservatory small are we talking about, Karen?
Well, I didn't have a specific... Did you have a specific area?
No, I just had an idea that it would be... maybe smaller than, say, well, my garden is about 600 square metres.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are, when you downsize and you go in to live in those townhouses, they're like half that size. So that would be like 300 square metres.
Yeah, so, I would say even less.
Yeah.
Have you seen some of those new developments that they're encouraging, you know, this whole new Kiwi build situation where they're trying to house everyone? Go and check out some of these. This is what the future is, I suppose. You get like a metre down each side of the house, mm. and maybe a bit of space at the back to put the dog kennel, if you're willing enough to put a dog there. But, yeah, it's very limited because I guess people, well, they're not like us and want to have their house surrounded by...
I guess that's where the
plants.
Fashion for square foot gardening came from. A square foot, like, and you can just plant according to that. But then I was thinking even...
Like one square foot.
Yeah, one square foot.
Come on.
No, square foot gardening, yeah. Like measuring each foot.
Okay.
And having certain plants per foot.
Yeah.
As a type of a grid that you can...
Because I was thinking that really is intensive living if that's all people have got. But anyway, yeah, cool. So that's an actual thing.
I was going to go even smaller than that. Micro gardening.
Are you talking like windowsill gardening?
Fairy gardening.
Oh, yes.
Bonsai.
Yeah.
But in general, anything smaller than your average section.
Yeah. And you never know, like if one day we end up living in space because we've completely nuked the planet...
No.
You might only have a very small capsule, you know, so bonsai might be it for you.
Oh, dear.
In there. Well, this is, I've been watching too much Netflix, but look, this wouldn't surprise me if we did that to our planet, honestly. Don't get me started on that.
Okay, we won't.
So, let's not. We've only got half an hour.
Right.
So, in small gardens, Selena, things can go very wrong when using species of plants that can overwhelm the space.
Mm.
You do need to, if you've got a large garden, like, say, I guess people would consider our gardens large now, nowadays, you've got a bit of leeway. And, you know, if your jasmine gets a bit out of control or whatever, it's not going to take over the house. Although I have almost had passion fruits start sort of enveloping my front area. But it's an easy fix, just with a bit of muscle. But I must say, on that note, when we did buy our house, and it's still there, I don't know if you've noticed, they had some sort of creeper going up the side of the house. And what they've actually done is, and it's, you can't call it roots, what do you call those things, the creepers, the vines or whatever, mm-hmm. that creep all over.
Tendrils?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the correct terminology? Anyway, we'll use that. All over the side of just the entrance part, and they attempted to get it all off, but it was the kind of tendrils that stick. Like you literally need to get a scraper in behind it.
Yeah.
And what they did it's just paint all over it anyway.
They painted over the plant.
It was, I don't know if that was the look they were going. Yeah, over the, I think they scraped as much as they could in probably a few days before they sold it. And then just slap paint over the top. It's quite funny. So that's what it does. It can actually really stick to your house, guys. So just be careful. Don't plant things. So this is where I say that, you know, you don't want to overwhelm the space. But in saying that, don't be afraid to plant anything at all. Because plants are one of the best tools, and if not the best, that you can use in a garden of any size, in my opinion, large or small, because their cost is far outweighed by their beauty, privacy and sheer pleasure that they can provide. And in small gardens, which is the topic of today, with the right plant selection and positioning, it's surprising how many plants can grow in compact spaces.
Yep.
It's totally achievable. I've seen some apartments in the city where obviously they're a green thumb and the whole like
whole space.
The whole deck outside their apartment is just green. It's beautiful. I think, oh well, you know, it is possible.
I think when you're dealing with a smaller garden, you're more into the detail. Like every plant counts, so I think you pay attention more to each plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A key aspect of planting in small spaces is layering. So grouping according to low, medium and tall species together.
Mm-hmm.
And your plants will thrive in these combinations because they love having the protection of the other plants around them to provide shelter from the sun and wind, but as well as that, a steady supply of mulch as well.
Yeah.
Because I think if it's a small space, unless it's completely exposed to the elements, you won't get as much rain on there. I don't know. There's some plants I can just leave in my garden, even during the summer, and if they are grouped together, and I do mulch them from time to time, I can not even have to water them. It's quite surprising.
I think they create their own humidity that way.
Yeah. It's like their own little ecosystem.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is a whole nother topic, and that's something I'd like to delve into another day is ecosystems.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's true. So think about that. What you need, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think use every bit of space that you can. And you were talking about walls before. You can use trellis and grow plants over that. So you could have it a little bit away from, say, your building walls, and it will grow in that.
So, in the case of my house, with the painted tendrils, all they needed to do was attach a trellis. And if you are going to use a trellis, and I'm a big fan of trellis, you know, make it a strong one, because if a plant is thriving, they do get heavy.
Yes, they do.
And strong, and, you know, and you can cut them back, you know. Some plants are fine with a good chopping, especially if they're strong. And then they can just hang on to that trellis for, you know, as long as they need to.
I've seen some vines that can, one I'd recommend is star jasmine. It can grow on wires and it can grow too. You can make all sorts of shapes with it, so be a bit creative.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You see, I've seen a lot of star jasmine. Is that the same as just jasmine? Full stop?
No.
It's a different variety, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's more suited to Auckland conditions. You can get jasmines that are very rampant, but star jasmine is quite well behaved.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, I've seen a lot of rampant ones. There is an alternative, and I was going to talk about that in my suggested small garden plants later. It's actually called potato vine. Have you heard of that?
It's
a South American plant, and it's also referred to as jasmine nightshade. Potatoes are from the nightshade family. But it's the thing is, you know how jasmine, is it called a herb? I know that you can get lots of essential oils and things like that with jasmine. It's a real strong perfume.
Yeah.
And some people have found planting it too close to their house, it's just been too overwhelming for them, the scent.
Yeah.
It's beautiful scent.
Mm.
but they found it. So they found potato vine. The reason why it's called jasmine nightshade, it's got very similar looking plant, and the flowers are, I think, almost identical.
Okay.
But the actual scent of it is...
not as overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. Not so, whoa, it's a lot gentler.
But for those who love scent, a small garden is a good way to have fragrant plants because you're quite up close to them.
And that star jasmine you were talking about, yeah, has that got that same jasmine scent that you get?
Yes, it's not as overpowering as some other types of jasmine, but it still has, yeah, it still has a smell.
And if you can chop it back, like you say, yeah, and it's manageable, then you won't be, you know, overwhelmed with it. And another thing to consider is in a small space is your neighbours when planting. Try not to plant something that will block their view. Unless you want to... I mean, like, some plants are great screens, so if you want privacy, great.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't want to plant a big tree right where someone's sea view is or whatever.
That's right.
That they've paid $1 million for. And also, you know, overhanging things, it'll drop leaves into...
yeah. So
and flowers into
there.
But, I mean, I've got neighbours that have got... I mean, I think I'm the only gardener in our street left. Oh, maybe me and Jessica. And so they'll just let their plants go and until maybe it gets too close to the fence and then it's going to cost them to replace the fence. Oh, we better do something about that. But I don't really, as a gardening neighbour, if their plants dropping leaves and whatnot, I just gather them all up and put them in my compost.
Yeah,
I don't really, I'm not
free
bothered.
Free mulch for
yeah,
you.
I'm like, oh, okay. But anyway, I don't know if other people would be so keen.
Tip, please don't plant privet, get rid of it.
Oh.
I've had neighbours who have privet on their property.
Yeah.
Terrible plant.
Makes
me sneeze.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, my fiancé has the exact same problem. He's asthmatic and it just drives him absolutely nutty, the privet. I think, isn't it coming in as spring now, so it'll be starting.
I think maybe years ago when they didn't know that this was going to be a problem, privet was recommended as a hedging plant.
Oh.
Makes a, well.
That's interesting because I've only ever seen privet as a tree. It's really good firewood. But
yeah.
That's obviously hedging gone really crazy. Oh, well, good point. Okay, go easy on the privet, guys. Is it like a, what do they call them, like considered like one of the New Zealand noxious plants now?
Yeah, it's on the list.
Okay, it's made it to the list.
I can't believe councils used to plant.
But I mean, you could say the same about gorse too.
Oh,
wow. Everyone planted gorse. I don't know, coming from the Waikato, I can't think of a farm that didn't have it as hedging at some point. I don't think they do it now, but... And running the cross country across farms as they'd just cut the gorse, that was always fun.
So the
big prickles, big forms.
Inventor of number 8 barbed wire.
Yeah.
Did he get his inspiration from gorse? Put gorse out of business.
Oh, I tell you, mate, no cow would even venture, honestly. You've seen gorse up close,
yeah,
eh?
Oh.
Yeah, it is seriously... And they were bringing it over by, well, not the truckload, but the boatload back in the day.
Oh, they didn't know.
I know. They did not know. Forgive them for they did not know. Yeah,
that's why we're here to recommend good plants.
That's right. We're here to provide a service.
Cameron, do you want to touch on lawn or no lawn?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I've got a recommendation. I don't mind a good lawn. We were talking about lawn a few sessions back. That was it, chamomile lawn?
Yes.
I mean,
good for small space. I have a little patch in my front garden that's chamomile.
I know you come from a home where lawn is treasured.
Wow.
Dad's still watering it and mowing it diligently. Maybe not watering at the moment. That would be a bit ridiculous.
I have dug up a side patch and planted wildflowers and cabbages. So he has less lawn to mow, and I figure I'm doing him a favour. As he's getting on, he might not, you know, want to mow the lawns forever.
Yeah. I'm after doing that that show on trees. Yes. Remember, and we were talking about how grass is actually one of the biggest evaporators. We're losing a lot of our water to the atmosphere, treasured water these days.
Yeah.
So it's kind of changed my perspective a bit on grass. I do like grass, though. I like playing cricket on it. It's nice underfoot in the morning.
Yeah.
Do you go out on the grass in the morning and barefoot?
Sometimes.
I do. It's nice.
If there's no prickles.
Yeah. No, we don't have too many. No, we don't have any prickles in ours. So without the prickles, I don't mind a little bit of lawn. But if I had a small space, I wouldn't bother with it.
Yeah.
And I certainly wouldn't bother with it if I had dogs. Or if I did have dogs, I'd just do what my neighbour's doing and just let it grow at least a foot.
Yeah.
Not joking. Well, I mean, it just turns to mud otherwise.
True, yeah.
So
plus you need space to put a lawnmower if you're going to be mowing.
So an alternative I've come across, although this could be, oh yeah, I will use this example. It's a bit controversial though. The Blue Star Creeper, have you heard of that?
No.
One of the best ways to soften man-made materials like concrete pavers, for instance, or concrete, is to use the Blue Star Creeper because it's tough enough to be walked on, and it grows in sun and shade. So it's like, and it's got these really, well, it's pretty obvious, blue star-looking cute little flowers.
Okay.
Really nice, and you don't have to mow it. And you can walk on it.
Does it have another name?
I did write that, what do you call the botanical name? Isotoma, sounds like a chemical name. Isotoma fluviatilis.
Never heard of it. Okay.
However, yeah, it's worth mentioning though. If you water and fertilise it too much, it does have invasive tendencies.
Okay.
And I think it's actually, I don't know if in this country, but possibly America, I think that was where I got this from. Oh, hang on a minute. No, this was a New Zealand writer that wrote this. But anyway, it's somewhere in the world. It's on some lists as it's not listed as invasive, but with the potential.
Right.
If it's, yeah. Cared for too much, you know.
Got some native ground covers. One's called Pratia, which also can have blue flowers or white flowers, and that looks so similar to what you've got here in your notes.
Yeah.
Pratia, yeah. So have a look out for
maybe
that one.
Maybe it's our version of that. Does that have similar properties? So it's a tough
yeah, it creeps along. It's more suited to shady spots. And in a small garden, you're more likely to have more shade than sun.
Mm.
And, yeah, it makes a really good ground cover. You don't need to mow or trim it at all.
And do you reckon it would be easier to grow than chamomile? Although your chamomile patch is looking amazing, but I've never had much joy with it. I've had certain times where it's gone really well, but
I've grown mine in a sort of gravelly place.
Yeah.
So.
Well drained.
Well, kind of well drained, and it gets the sun. It's not all in shade. So if you're growing a chamomile lawn, site it somewhere where it gets sun.
Mm.
Whereas the Pratia prefers a bit of shade.
Mm.
And the Pratia creeps along, whereas the chamomile, it does creep a bit, but it's more like a rosette tufty. And then when it flowers, you just use the flowers, cut the flowers off, and it goes back to lawns.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Pratia.
Pratia.
P-R-A-T-I-A. Okay.
Yeah, it looks quite similar to the Blue Star Creeper you've got there.
Okay. Now, moving on to the next thing I was going to suggest, unless you had any suggestions.
For more creepers? Not that I think... we've covered that.
I wanted to just talk about a tree that I'm in love with after doing this research.
Let me guess.
I'm not sure if I can say it right. Cersus.
Cersus.
Were you thinking the same?
At first I thought Japanese maple.
But oh, I've got that one too, but out of the two, the reason why I'm a big fan of the Syrsus for small space, well, in general, really.
It's a lovely tree.
I just love blossoms. Yeah. It's a blossom. It blossoms in spring.
Beautiful.
They actually have an array of colours from the red purple forest pansy variety. Then you've got greens, and then you've got the heart of gold variety, which sounds delicious. And this blossom tree, it's real popular in America, is known to reach twice its height and spread.
Okay.
So if you've got an area where it can go wide.
Right, yep.
And you don't want it to go too high, maybe you don't, you know, you haven't, your house needs a bit of sun, so you don't.
Yeah.
You don't want something too high up.
Okay. What I love about it is the beautiful heart-shaped leaves.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just got a picture of the blossom on my sheet.
And in autumn, the colours are beautiful.
Yeah.
So a very good small tree for a small garden.
And it's got heart-shaped leaves as well. It covers everything. So that is Syrsus from the Syrsus family. At first I read that as circus.
C-E-R-C-I-S.
I thought, nah, it can't be circus. But who knows? In the plant world, it's a whole different language, isn't it?
We need to learn some Latin.
I think so. Yeah, can't they just have...
No.
No. It's a science.
It's all botanical.
Yeah. Circus. C-E-R-C-I-S. So check that one out if you've got room for a small tree.
Another name they call it is Judas tree.
Ah.
Have you heard that?
Yeah. I did hear that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I read somewhere, was it that one or, okay, no, it must be the other page. Oh, the other tree I read, have we got time for me to quickly mention another one?
Yep.
The crabapple tree?
Yes.
This is a multitasker. If you're like me and like something that covers all the bases, nice and simple, okay. The graceful form and versatility of the crabapple tree will make it ideal for small gardens. The crabapples are right on the money with their pretty flowers in spring, lovely green foliage in summer, followed by colourful fruit that the birds adore, and then this is followed by the golden leaves in autumn. Another positive, and this is just what I wanted to mention, was losing their leaves in winter is a positive for tiny spaces where you need, where sun is, you know, at a premium. Mm-hmm. So that's always handy. Now, you know the other blossom tree we were just talking about from the Syrsus? Of course it would lose its... Do all blossom trees lose their leaves?
They're deciduous, yeah.
Deciduous, yeah. So that's another positive, eh? So in winter you get that light streaming through with the beautiful blossoms as well.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. I'm excited. I never thought I'd get so excited about small gardens, but yeah.
I was going to touch on window boxes, wall planters and raised beds just quickly.
Yeah.
For small gardens, maybe you've got a courtyard or a patio space, and also around your house at the entranceways, that's where you can put a little garden.
Yeah.
So have a think about doing, putting like... Yeah, the hanging things off the walls and having window boxes.
Yeah, I love window boxes, eh?
And the raised beds, you can actually get raised planters where you can grow your veggies, actually. And they call them veggie pods.
Oh, yeah.
And they're actually raised up so they're at your working height. You don't have to bend down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're very good, too.
Those, what do they call them? There's several names also for vertical plant screens are very in vogue at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
Or the other name is living screens.
Yeah.
Do you recommend any plants that would be good for something if someone wants like a living screen, just a wall of green?
Mm.
Other than, oh, I guess we touched on that with the jasmine, but
For indoors, I've got a good plant called Hoya.
Okay.
And you don't really need to water it much, and it's got big sort of waxy leaves and then flowers. So that's a kind of like a good one for a trailing, hanging plant.
Have you heard of orange jessamine?
No.
It's also known, the botanical name is Maria paniculata. Sounds like an alcoholic drink. Anyway, that is supposed to be really nice. It's got vivid green foliage and white flowers, and it can get up to 2.5 metres in height and doesn't mind being trimmed at all. You can just loosely just clip it and however you want. That's supposed to make for a really good screen, that one too. And it's got a lovely orange blossom scent.
Gorgeous.
Can't go wrong.
For those of you planting in containers, because you maybe don't have the space to dig up your whole patch, a tip is to group your containers so that you can water them all at once and just have a mixture. But if you want it to look sort of designer...
Absolutely.
Try and coordinate your containers. Might have them in all different colours.
What if you want to go for the rainbow effect?
Maybe have the rainbow effect, like red, yellow, blue. Red, orange, yellow, blue. But I don't know.
What do they call the primary colours only?
Yeah. Or coordinate your colours.
Pastels only. Well, I won't show you my pot collection then.
Oh, mine's a bit motley. I had a visitor to my garden a few months ago, and she sort of, everyone feels fit to make comment on stuff I do and go, oh, there's a weed. She said, oh, there's a bit of clutter here. Because I had all these little pots everywhere. I didn't group them and it didn't, yeah.
Well, I know, but my mum used to be pot mad. Honestly, she went through this, like, pot phase where they were just, like, you literally couldn't walk around the yard without, like, a row of pots tripping you up. And honestly, it was almost, she grouped them all, like, in a line. It looked like an army of pot plants, you know. It was, I don't know. Just do what works. Go back to our feng shui episode.
Yeah, have fun.
See if you
with
can
it.
Find some information on that.
Okay. Oh, Karen, we must do our plant of the week.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower.
Now, our plant of the week is flowering right now.
Indeed.
It's the lovely lavender.
Yes.
So good for a small garden because it's just one of those plants that you love to smell and touch.
Yeah. And it's easy to control.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And great plant for entranceways. It likes dry and sunny.
Mm-hmm. So if you forget to water.
It's okay.
You know, a few late nights at the office, don't fret. It's all good.
It's originally from the Mediterranean. Mm. And it can cope with windy and coastal areas. So if you're by the coast, plenty of lavender.
Doesn't like wet feet though, eh?
No.
Okay. So, by that we mean just don't wet it, don't water it, overwater it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's two types of lavender. There's the English variety and the French variety.
Yeah.
And the French variety tends to do better in Auckland because it is more tolerant of our humid climate.
So. Oh, okay. Is that the lighter coloured lavender, French one?
It's got the Latin name is Lavender dentata. So you look for the little teeth like on the leaves.
Mm.
So it's got a toothed kind of leaf, whereas English lavender is a bit more smooth.
Yeah. Is that like the dandelion? Like, you know how dandelions, same...
Little serrated edges.
Is it same? Okay.
Yeah. And use the flowers, trim them, and use them in your potpourri or in your bath.
Or you can even use it in a tea. Lavender tea is really yummy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it loves having itself trimmed, and when it is trimmed, you can shape it and it can grow more bushy. And, it'll keep giving. It's the plant that keeps on giving.
Oh, wonderful, Selena. Thank you for sharing that.
One recommended variety that's really good for oil is called Grosso, but there are so many different varieties of lavender. So have a look in your garden centre.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks for that. I think that's about all we've got time for today. Was there anything else?
No.
No. All right.
You've got to go out and do your gardening now.
Small or large, no excuses.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Bye everyone. Happy gardening. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.